Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We are sponsored today by Ivory Homes and their brand new community. This is the Overland community in Eagle Mountain. It's at 6344 North Vernon Drive. They're going to be having an open house there today. Up on our webcam today at KSLNewsRadio.com, you can actually see the model home in this beautiful community, see the wonderful amenities, the beautiful great room. Ugh, I love to look at these luxurious bathrooms, and boy, the views. This community is nestled along the western side of the Lake Mountains, and it not only provides these big views, but an escape from the big city. It enables you actually to feel a strong sense of community, and it has a close proximity to schools, trails, and multiple nearby parks. So for Ivory Homes, it's not just about building the home, but creating a great community. And again, this community is going to serve 3,000 homes upon completion. And it has something for everyone, sizes for everyone. So check these out. And again, you can find out more at their website at ivoryhomes.com. And the community is 6344 North Vernon Drive in Eagle Mountain. And today, an open house from 11 to 2, and they're taking all the safety precautions that are recommended by the CDC when you go out there today. Let's take our next call. This is from Suzanne in Mapleton. Good morning, Suzanne. How can we help you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call, and I have two questions, actually. My first deals with necrotic ring rot in my lawn, and thanks to your program, which I heard a couple of weeks ago, I learned about it, recognized it, had it diagnosed, and treated with a product called Headway. Well, I've learned that I should water it frequently with a shallow amount of water. However, I have 17 other sprinkling areas that I want to follow Tom's counsel to water less frequently every 3 to 4 days and deeply. If I water less frequently every all over my lawn, am I going to increase the likelihood that the necrotic ring rot will spread?
Well, what the recommendation is you can still water deeply, you know, less often, but in the areas where you have it, you would spritz those areas for 4 or 5 minutes in the morning just to help those areas out a little bit. So your clock should have an A and a B and a C program. And you would do is just set your clock up as normal on, say, program A, and then go to program B. And that those particular zones that may need a spritzing, you would just set them to spritz on the off days when your other sprinklers are not activating.
Very good. Okay, thank you. And then my second question is, what's the easiest way to get rid of quack grass?
Boy, U-Hauls and riders are popular today. Quack grass is one. Is it in your lawn or flower beds or where do you have it?
Basically in clumps in places. I have a lot of lawn, and there are certain places that definitely have quack grass
Quack grass usually doesn't clump. Its sprigs come up every 2 or 3 inches, and then it just kind of takes over. Now, do you have rounded clumps?
It tends to spread erratically one way or the other, but they have...
And is it like forming a dense mat eventually, or just staying in a circle? You might have quack grass. So in that situation, there's a few options. They're not great, but at least they're options. So you can sometimes go to places like Steve Regan or IFA and find, or even on Amazon, what's called a wicking wand. They look like a hockey stick, and they'll have instructions on how to mix, but what you would do is brush the quack grass, because it's faster growing than your Kentucky bluegrass, with the wicking wand on that sponge, and you just have to go in and carefully go back and forth, and then let it die out. It'll come back because of its extensive root system, and it has nodules on the roots that don't get herbicide into them that resprout. So you would have to do this 3 or 4 times, and you know, eventually you're just going to be mowing quack grass if you do nothing. But I would look for that, a wicking wand, because that's probably going to be the fastest way without breaking your back to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Suzanne, thank you for your call this morning. Ton, our next texter, wants to talk about potatoes. They have some that are sprouting. They're wondering if they can plant them in their garden now. How many nutrients do they take out of the soil, and how do they take care of them?
If they have some that are forming the little rootlet thingies on them, what I would do is cut them in half or thirds, depending on the size of the potato, mm-hmm. making sure that each one has some of those rootlets, and then let them sit overnight so that they kind of scar off. That will help prevent fungus to get in there. And then they're going to download Utah State University's Potatoes in the Garden fact sheet and then plant accordingly. But they'll probably want to make a furrow and then drop those in. They'll use a shovel to split the soil open and drop a couple of them in per area where they split it open. But USU has a great fact sheet. It tells how to fertilize so they don't deplete the soil. And because potatoes and tomatoes and peppers are close related, you want to avoid rotating each of those into where one of their relatives were grown previously, the previous year or two.
Okay. Their next question is really interesting. Their son-in-law bought a tomato. They cut it in half. They planted it. They got 29 plants. He did this in April. Now, the plants are about 5 inches high, and they're wondering, is he going to get tomatoes off of them? And I guess they were those kinds of tomatoes that you buy with the vine attached to them.
Well, if they just cut a tomato fruit in half and planted the seeds, it's probably from a hybrid tomato. And what will happen, the seeds are viable, but they most likely will not come back the same as the parent. But yes, they would get tomatoes, but it's a crapshoot on what would come back.
Oh, interesting experiment, though, if you had enough space, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I want that person to let us know at the end of the season how that went, because that is pretty interesting. Let's take a call from Bill in Grantsville. Good morning, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. What is your question?
I've got asparagus that has gone to fern. It's over 6 feet tall. And I wondered, is it too late to cut it back for another harvest?
Well, how big are the spears right now?
It's a mature asparagus, so they're all sizes. Some of the biggest ones are as big as your thumb.
You want to stop cutting it when the spears get to about pencil width.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You want to stop cutting it back when the spears are consistently about pencil width. So when the spears are as wide as a pencil, then you stop cutting it because you're depleting it of energy, and it'll take the season to get more energy to produce next year.
Okay, all right. So it's probably too late to start to cut it back for another harvest.
Yeah, if those spears aren't really thick and stuff, I would just, you could cut the ferns off because you don't want it producing flowers, so it'll put more energy into root storage. But as far as consuming it, if those spears are getting a little bit on the small side, I would stop.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. The Greenhouse Show this morning is being sponsored by Ivory Homes and their brand new Eagle Mountain community. It's at 6344 North Vernon Drive. You can actually see it right now on our website, kslnewsradio.com. Just go and check out our webcam and you can see the beautiful facility there. Again, we're sponsored by Ivory Homes this morning. Taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do? in the face of an international disaster decades in the making. That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thanks for taking us along on your Saturday morning. Maria and Ton, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, next texter says they have a candy tuft bush that has grown very thick and tall. They've never thinned it. They've just pruned it down to 3 or 4 inches. They're wondering if they can thin it or divide it. They say it's really beautiful, but it's really getting large for where it is.
Well, where it's coming up, if it has a lot of stems coming out of the ground, right now is not the time to do it. But this fall, they could go in and split it so that they have a couple of different clumps, or even 3 if it's big enough, and then just plant so that they get as much of the roots attached to the stem as possible. But if they don't have a lot of stems there, which I suppose they do, I would give it some time and let it expand out a little bit.
Okay, next one is asking if Epsom salt is good to put on veggie plants.
I would avoid it. Epsom salts are rich in magnesium and a few other things, but it's just one of those things. It's probably not going to harm anything, but do you really need to do it? Now, if you did soil testing that showed you were deficient for some reason, then go ahead. But most of our soil doesn't need it.
Okay, the next person in line is Keith in West Valley. Good morning, Keith. And what is your question this morning?
Hi, I'm just wondering about the earthquake. My ground seems a lot more bumpy this year than it was last year. And I'm wondering if maybe the earthquake had anything to do with that.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of calls about that this spring, and I'm really wondering. I don't think so. You know, I'm not a person that studies earthquakes, but I don't think that was more what caused it. I think it was more we probably had a lot more frost heaving this year to where the ground freezes and is wet, and as water freezes, it expands, and so it causes the soil to kind of heave up. And a lot of times, they will diminish with rain and things, and we didn't get as much rain this year.
So should I do anything about it? Maybe sand or...
Well, is it a hazard? Are you tripping over things or...
No, it's just irritating to mow the lawn.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to, you could get a thatching blade and set it fairly low to knock the tops off of the mounds, and that might help. But your irrigation will help a little bit. But I wouldn't start putting sand all over your lawn.
Okay. All right. You don't think maybe, I don't know, I was thinking about one of those rollers you could rent with that. You know, wet it down and run one of those rollers over it. Would that
you could try it? They generally will just, I mean, those rollers, I used them, and you put water in there, and they might weigh 40 or 50 pounds, so they might help. But if you got, I have an old picture of a guy running over his lawn with a steamroller, and that will absolutely destroy your soil.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll just see if it dissipates and just water regularly and go from there.
All right, Keith, good luck, and thanks for your question this morning. Next texter says, Ton, they used the Set 2 IFA fertilizer that has weed control 2 weeks ago. They usually put a layer of grass clippings over their black fabric in their garden, and they're wondering if it's okay to use those grass clippings.
They will just need to look at the label. The label will say, wait this long before putting clippings, but a lot of times those weed and feed products have dicamba in there, and if it has dicamba, that can stay soil active for, you know, several days to several weeks.
Okay, so they're good to be careful.
They really need to look at their labels.
All right, let's take a call from Frank in Ogden. Good morning, Frank.
Hey. Good morning.
What is your question?
Hello?
What's your question? Hi, Frank. What is your question this morning?
I have a peach tree that the leaves are curled up. They're turning yellow, and they're turning into a little ball, and there's little white or black aphids or something on them, and wonder what I could do to cure that.
Well, if it's not too far progressed, you could try just a stiff stream of water to knock them off. But if it's beyond that and it's looking like it's hitting the entire tree, you may need to use something like a horticultural soap, like Safer Soap, that you can pick up, and that will kill any of them that are exposed. If you needed to, you could step up from there with something like permethrin, which I wouldn't overuse, or another fruit tree spray. But generally, horticultural soap, if you spray that every 4 to 5 days for a couple of weeks, will slow those aphids down and allow natural predators to start getting them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have another question. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are eggshells, ground up eggshells, good for the potted tomatoes and cucumbers and zucchini?
No. Our soil has plenty of calcium. It's just that no matter what, calcium can be difficult for tomatoes and other plants to absorb from the soil, because, and it's made worse by overwatering, under, you know, and then underwatering and then overwatering, or cooler temperatures. And so it's really common for the first tomatoes to have blossom end rot, which is caused by calcium deficiency, but our soil had plenty of calcium. It's just that the plant lacked the ability to get it out of the soil in great enough quantities. And as the season progresses, that diminishes.
And thank you for your call this morning. And this morning's show is sponsored by Ivory Homes and their brand new community, 6344 North Vernon Drive. This is in Eagle Mountain. You can see more of this great community on their website at ivoryhomes.com. This is going to be their largest master plan community with 3,000 homes, something for everyone. Check it out. We'll be talking about it much more on The Greenhouse Show.